everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. I have another great program for you today. We're going to discuss common issues that step families face and how to address or manage them. My guest today is Dr. Dwayna Welch. She is one of my favorite guests, and I know you've heard her on the program before. She is the original Love Factually author and coach, known for using social science to solve real-life relationship issues. She's been a professor at universities in Florida, California, and Texas across 20 years and has contributed to NPR, PBS, Psychology Today, and numerous other outlets, podcasts, and videos. She also is the author of the book, Love Factually for Single Parents and Those Dating Them. All of her books rely on science rather than opinion to help men and women find and keep the right partner, and they all have a blue cover for easy identification. Her Love Factually client practice is also global via Skype and other technologies. So for more information and free content, see lovefactually.co or lovesciencemedia.com. So welcome to the program, Dwayna. So nice to have you with us again today.
Thank you so much. That was a wonderful intro, and I always enjoy being on your show. I think this is the fourth time. I'm so honored.
Oh, thank you. I love talking with you. And it's always such a pleasure to have another expert who uses science as their advice. And so, you know, I love and support that approach.
Absolutely. I have such great respect for you because you actually did the science. I report on other people's doing of the science, but it's really important, I think, in a world where we have science to tell us what helps our relationships, to use it.
Absolutely. I agree. Thank you, Dwayna. Now, you know that I've read all of your books. Help us understand what motivated you to write the Love Factually series of books, because I know you've written two large books. You've also written several mini books. How did you decide to write all of these Love Factually books?
Well, I got into relationship science to begin with because I really wasn't very good at dating. So that's why I started learning the science. I wrote the books because my husband, whose name is Vic, really encouraged me. He said I knew all these things that he wished everybody had known. They had really helped us. And he felt that there were books inside of me. And I really have to thank him for keeping after me. I did a blog for about 5 years when my son was little because I didn't feel like I wanted to take the time to write a book. It seemed daunting, you know, to who was I to write a book was my thinking. But eventually that did turn into my first book. And then I realized that there were other areas where people kept coming to me for information based on science rather than opinion, and that they were niche issues that really weren't being addressed too much from a science standpoint with a friendly tone. So I decided to write about those as well. This single parenting book and dating book is one of those because I've been a step parent and I've been a single parent and I've dated single parents, and this book kind of ties it all up in one spot. So I really felt like I could have used this help and I wanted to offer it to others.
Very nice. And today, specifically, we're talking about step family challenges. And I know that listeners are thinking, well, you know, all families have challenges. So how are the issues that face step families unique?
I would sum it up as competing loyalties and agendas. Mm. I think that phrase really summarizes it. You know, when you start a biological family together with someone, you have the same loyalties and agendas. You both usually have a much longer leash on how patient you are with your own children versus someone else's. You're both invested in the well-being of these children. You both look in on them at night in their beds and say, oh, aren't they cute? And you both want to save for their college if you're in a financial position to do that. But you both want the best for these kids. And usually you both get it that the kids have to take precedence while they are children compared to many of the things you would have prioritized before there were children.
Like hobbies and interests and work and things like that, you mean?
And sleep and money and sex.
Sleep and sex, right. I agree. So if you are a step parent or if you're part of a step family, you don't have the same agenda and you don't have the same loyalties as what you're saying then.
You're not exactly on the same page the way that bio mom and bio dad who have a thriving marriage would be. And so I actually have an exercise in my book. The last third of my book, Love Factually for Single Parents and Those Dating Them, acts as if you found the right person and now what? And that's because I want to prepare people for what's coming next so that they can thrive. And so I have an exercise called Competing Agendas where I ask everyone to write down what might stand in the way of harmony in their new family and to write it down from their perspective, but also the perspective of their new spouse and the children, because the children have a say in that. They don't always want your success, for example. Mm-hmm. They may say things like, you're not my real mom or you're not my real dad, or they may actively try to undermine the relationship. And then after people do that exercise, I say, okay, my turn. And I write down in great detail what the different agendas might be. For example, I've already mentioned, we already give our own children more emotional leeway to make mistakes. We just do. We have more patience with them. We have more love for them than we do other people's children. It's a fact. If it weren't a fact, we would have babies and then say to the hospital tech, you know what, just bring me any baby that was born the same day. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it does matter. It matters at a deep genetic level. We care very much for our own progeny. We also have different discipline styles usually, and that happens even in marriage between bio mom and bio dad. But we tend to have, again, because we have more emotional leeway with our own kids, this can really become a bigger problem in a step family. Moms especially are likely to feel protective of their children, even when they've married a really good person. And it turns out that around the world, the top threat to, in a reconstituted family, the top threat to the survival and thriving of children is the wrong stepdad. Frankly, I know this, I'm not trying to scare you off remarriage. I'm trying to give it more of a realistic cast so that you understand moms tend to be more protective in a remarriage with their kids than they were with the biological dad. Mm-hmm. And there are longstanding historical and modern reasons for that having to do with safety. And so, you know, that can create a situation where mom seems to be on the side of her children sometimes and not on the side of her new husband. I'm not saying these issues can't be overcome. I'm saying they are there. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's important. I think it's wonderful and important that people are hearing this, because then if you are a step parent out there, you're saying that these differences, these challenges are common, they're typical. And so I'm not the only one feeling them as a stepmom or a stepfather, that these differences in agenda, these differences in discipline styles, these differences in wanting to protect my biological children because of this stepfather, that idea, that approach is common and normal and typical, Duana. And I think that's wonderful. So now that we have some of these differences, some of these challenges, what do I do if I'm experiencing these differences in agenda or discipline style, or I'm feeling so protective of my own biological children as a mom?
You know, the feedback that I get is that once people understand what the challenges are, it actually helps a lot just knowing that we're all in the same soup here. Mm-hmm. It helps a lot knowing that almost everybody's stepkids go through periods of time when they don't like them. Remind yourself that, you know, you might have been raised by your biological parents and you didn't always even like them. So
Right, that is true. We forget that, don't we?
we do. So, you know, you were probably due for a difficult time at some point anyway, but especially if it's a step-parent situation, the children may wish that their biological parents would get back together. They may fear losing that biological parent. The exes may want to interfere in the relationship. It's just there's a baggage train that comes with this that doesn't come with biological parenting where nobody had kids coming in. And just knowing that actually helps a lot of people to give up what I call the dream, not the reality, the dream of the united step family. It's not going to happen that you have a step family that is like a biological family. And the sooner you give up that myth of the blended family, the sooner you can actually be happy with what you have. Because what you have can be wonderful. It's just not going to be the same journey. It's like thinking you were on a plane to, say, Amsterdam and you wind up in Paris, and they're both awesome places, but they definitely are very different from each other.
That's good, you know, but there's so much out there, Duane. I like the Brady Bunch television show that shows us that these blended, perfect, like biological families are out there. And so step parents, step families see those television shows and think, oh no, I'm not that.
Yeah, and I hate to admit it, but when Vic and I married, I believed all this stuff because I really, there weren't any books that were quite addressing this
Right.
at the time. And so I remember we went to family therapy pretty early in our remarriage. And the therapist said, "Is everybody at the house more or less polite?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You know, so what you're telling me is sometimes there's a little bit of rudeness, and it seems like sometimes the kids and you all are still working out how much of a family you are." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I think you should pat yourselves on the back and adjust your expectations a little bit. You're doing pretty well." And that has always stayed with me because it turns out that expectations are the enemy of happiness. Anytime you look at, I'm not saying not to have any expectations. I'm saying to have realistic ones. Anytime you look at when people are unhappy, unhappiness is the distinction between our expectations and our reality. That's really what unhappiness is. And it's important to adjust expectations to understand that sometimes the kids aren't going to like you. Sometimes they're not going to like their biological parent, quite possibly. Sometimes they will prefer the parent that they don't live with primarily. Maybe that's most of the time because they can have a fantasy about that relationship. Sometimes the biological kids are going to need more time with the biological parent, and it's going to mean that you, as the step parent, or your spouse as the step parent, will get less time in the marriage. And the view needs to be the long view that eventually the kids grow up. Eventually, they usually leave home. Right now, kids are back home because we're in the middle of COVID-19, but eventually they do leave home. And there needs to be a foundation between the two of you where you have your own relationship, and yet you have nurtured the relationship each with your own parents, excuse me, your own children. The idea that you are ever going to parent somebody else's children is a big source of pain. You're
And I
not going to be the
love that.
primary parent.
Absolutely. And I love the notion that you started with as well, is that it's so important, listeners, to have realistic expectations. And I've talked about that in both of my books as well, that it leads to frustration and disappointment when your expectations don't meet your reality, just like you said, Duana, and you become frustrated and disappointed, and that leads to unhappiness. And so it's so important, listeners, to hear what Duana's talking about. Having realistic expectations is key. I like that. And you gave us examples of unrealistic expectations that we need to really look at if we are part of a step family. Now, help us understand as well, what do you tell clients, Duana, about dealing with my partner's ex? How do I deal with that when I'm a step parent or even when I remarry? It seems like that would be a challenge or an issue.
It can be. I will say that if you learn how to have boundaries and be kind and respectful, almost every relationship in your life will go well, because I'm going to share something personal. So my husband's ex was a very difficult person. She killed herself almost exactly a year ago. Yeah, she committed suicide. Yeah. Yeah, it was very serious. She had multiple serious mental illnesses. Mm-hmm. And she was a very difficult person in addition to that. And it was very hard to see my stepson in that situation. I did not talk about it in my book. She was still alive at the time the book came out. Right. I didn't talk about it in any of my former interviews. It was very difficult having a relationship with her. So I just want to give that as a background for the fact that I needed to apply this same information, and I did it with varying levels of success, meaning that sometimes I applied it well and sometimes I didn't. And that's
life.
Thank
you for sharing that, by the way, Duana.
Yeah, thanks. And I want to share that because I don't want to position myself as someone who's on the mountaintop of enlightenment who always does the right thing. In life, none of us always does the right thing. And in life, when we remarry, in all odds, there were reasons that the marriage didn't work out. And sometimes it's very difficult to get along with the ex. Sometimes it is. And what I will tell you is you need to have a boundary where you think to yourself, as soon as this interaction becomes in any way unkind or disrespectful, I'm going to say, let's talk another time. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to get off the phone or stop texting or leave the room or leave the situation. And what I found was, even in the situation that I was in, when I was able to remember that boundary, even in a situation with somebody who had such difficulty, she was in a lot of pain all the time. Mm-hmm. I have great compassion for that.
Right.
Even in that situation, we usually were able to have birthdays together and have holidays together and go to the same family events. Remember, marriages sometimes come and go, but parenthood is forever. And if you can keep that at the forefront, that you are the custodian of these young lives that need you to care about them, even if they're not your young lives, you're in their lives and you need them to be cared about, then keep at the forefront this idea that it is in your best interest as well as theirs and your new partner's for you, if not to be friends with the ex, because a lot of times that's not possible, to be kind and respectful to them. And when you can't, simply to absent yourself, as they say in England. Just right. Make yourself scarce.
And that notion of what is in the best interest of the child or children is really at the forefront, is what you're suggesting as well. So that, you know, you don't have to talk all the time. You don't have to be that person's best friend, but be kind and be respectful and remember, as you said, what is in the best interest of the child. And that's so important. I see families as well all the time where one parent is saying negative, hurtful, painful things about the other co-parent who they're no longer married to. And that's just not the best for the child. Having a relationship with both parents is so important. Would you agree?
Absolutely. When you trash talk a parent, what's happening is that half that child is being attacked. And the children take this very much to heart, you know? And the hard thing is that often, because, you know, obviously the bio parents are not still together, often only one parent is playing by these rules and the other parent isn't. That's just the truth. A lot of times, one parent will speak kindly and respectfully of the other, if at all, and the other one won't. And what I want to encourage you is, be the parent that takes the high ground. Your children admire that. I taught college and university for 20 years, and I taught so many now adult children who had been through one or more divorces in their parents, often more than one. And again, I heard from them. And I want to give the kids perspective here because I feel like it's so important. Again and again, I heard from these now adult children that they had so much respect and admiration for the parent who did not sink to the level of denigrating one of the parents. They had so much love and respect for the step parent who followed suit. If they couldn't say anything nice, they simply didn't say anything at all. That was so much better. And what was interesting is the parent who said negative things about the other parent, or the step parent who said negative things about the other parent, they usually lost those kids ultimately. When those kids had a position to take where they chose a parent, they usually chose, because remember, these kids are going to grow up and they're going to get to choose at that point. These kids chose the parent who kept the high ground. They just did. That's what I see in my practice. It's what I saw with 20 years of students, who many of whom I'm still in touch with, and they continue to make that choice. What the best outcome was, if all the parents involved, biological parents, whether or not that were divorced, and the step parents, if all of them maintained a kind, respectful attitude where they spoke well of the other parent, they tended to have a really close relationship with all their parents. But as soon as any of the parents talked negatively in the presence of the child, no matter what the age of the child was, this could be an adult child, that adult child chose the people who spoke positively, if at all.
Right. And, you know, I've seen that too, Duana, in terms of my university students and clients as well. And so I totally agree with you. Taking the high road, not denigrating, being negative about the other parent is so very, very important, listeners. Now, Duana, we only have a few minutes left, if you can believe that. But I just want to understand, what are you hearing or seeing these days in terms of step parents and step families that, you know, given the pandemic, are there any additional issues that you can mention or talk to us about in just a few minutes that we have that might be happening these days?
Absolutely. You know, everyone's under so much stress. People are experiencing stresses of not knowing whether they're going to have a steady income or they've actually lost their job. They don't know if unemployment insurance is going to continue. Financial stress plays a huge role in adults' mental well-being and emotional health. They're experiencing the stress of not knowing whether schools will open or knowing that they are going to open, but that maybe it'll be under a circumstance where their kids could get COVID and bring it home to maybe grandmother or grandfather. So people are under stress, and usually we have a harder time being our best selves when we're under stress. That's simply true. And so what I'm seeing a lot of is people are afraid about switching their homes, you know, having the kids go back and forth the way they did before, coming up with the same rules for what play dates are going to look like, how many kids the children can spend time with, which kids those are. Anything you didn't agree on before is likely to be exacerbated now. I would encourage you to take a really deep breath and take a step back before you have any altercation of any sort with a step parent or with their biological parent, whatever your position is in the family. Just take the time you need to make sure you are calm going into these discussions. And as soon as you feel that you can't be your best self in the discussion, say that you need some time before you come back to it. That will help you. You may never agree, but that will help you from doing further damage.
I like that. And that's so very important because people are very stressed in these challenging times. And so listeners, listen carefully, take a deep breath and step back before you say something that you regret. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Duana. I always love talking to you. There never seems to be enough time as well. So thank you very much.
Thank you. I feel exactly the same. It just flew by. And I appreciate you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate you too, Duana. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Duana Welch or her Love Factually books, please visit her website at lovesciencemedia.com or lovefactually.com. co. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help your relationships, all your relationships, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be safe, be healthy, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.